afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER first quarter 2018 consolidated results conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you. Thank you for participating to our first quarter 2018 results conference call. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm joined today by Roberto Ferrari, Chief Financial Officer, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. Before going through the details of the results, I'd like to make some preliminary comments on the main strategic focuses and messages, and also on our performance in this first quarter, in which we achieved a net profit of 251 million euros. For many reasons, this quarter is probably the most important of the last few years for the BPER Group. As a matter of fact, with the actions implemented, we have laid the foundations for looking at our future with optimism, both in terms of profitability and asset quality. The result of first Q 2018 arrives at 251 million euro, as I said before, and it is the highest ever achieved by our group. It has been influenced by the particularly positive trend in commissions, trading, and cost of credit, the latter in strong reduction. All the teams, members of the group were strongly committed to achieve this important goal, which is crucial to support our NPE strategy. Asset quality improvement continues, and we have recorded a decrease of NPE for the seventh quarter in a row, and now the gross ratio is close to 19%. Texas ratio is below the 100% threshold in a quarter in which we reached levels of coverage never seen before. This was possible thanks to the selection of a potentially transferable portfolio of NPE for a gross amount of 6.4 billion euro, on which, according to IFRS 9 first-time adoption, we have accounted additional provisions for more than 1.1 billion euro. Given a very sound capital position and a strong capital generation in the quarter, we are able to confirm solid capital levels with a Common Equity 1 ratio phase-in at 14.6% and a fully phased ratio at 11.71%. Now I'd like to focus for a while on our NPE strategy. Please move on to page six of our presentation. Finally, we are able to outline our NPE strategy in a more ambitious terms. Asset quality has always been the bank's priority, and now we can confirm that we are winning our challenge. After improving the bonus portfolio quality and made unlikely to pay and bad loans management more efficient, in the quarter we have recorded very high level of recoveries and confirming a strong capital position. Since June 2016, we have started an organic reduction of NPE. Now we are ready to define a solid and effective strategy to obtain a quick asset quality improvement. The strategy can be split into three different steps. The first one, as mentioned before, we have selected an NPE portfolio for potential disposals for a gross amount of 6.4 billion euro, representing two-thirds of the total NPE portfolio. The net values of this portfolio were aligned with those achievable in a probable disposal scenario, along with IFRS 9 introduction from January 2018. This action required additional provisions for a total amount exceeding €1.1 billion, facilitating the alignment of coverage at the highest levels of the Italian banking system. Second step, we are going to sell bad loans for an expected amount of €3.54 billion in the period 2018-2020, of which bad loan securitization transactions should be around €1 billion on Banco di Sardegna, with the closing expected by the fourth half 2018, and around €2 billion on Liberbanca, with the closing expected by the end of 2018. The third step is this, along with the work mentioned above, we are going to reduce NPEs by about €1 billion through internal workout. We expect to have, first of all, strong improvement in the default and cure rates via optimization of the performing quality and the NPE management processes within groups, credit, and business areas. Second, further bad loan segmentation of workout strategies related to the closure procedure for the bad loan portfolio, while increasing the extra judicial transactions relative to current levels. And third, increasing write-off activity. Because of these, as you can see on page 7, we are confident about improving our gross NPE ratio target, which is 11.5 in 2020 and below 10 in 2021. Now let's go to a quick analysis of the balance sheet, and then we'll go over profit and loss section, and at the end there will be time for Q&A. So, first of all, on page 9, there is total funding, and as you can see, the total funding is at €90 billion, 94.4. So the small reduction is mainly due to the decreasing of the financial repo, and the funding from customers is increasing also in the first Q 2018. And the trend of direct funding is due also to the decision no longer to accept certain forms of institutional funding, which are particularly expensive, and at the same time, the commitment of transforming direct funding in indirect deposits. The other trends are what we probably saw also in the other quarter, in particular the bond decline is continued during post-Q 2018 by 7% since December 17. Now we can move on page 10, net customer loans. First of all, there is a decline by €2.2 billion, mainly due to the significant increase of coverage, so without IFRS 9 first-time adoption, the decrease is €1.1 billion, and this is the usual seasonality of the first part of the year. Let's go to page 11. Asset under management, bancassurance stocks, up also in this first Q 2018. So the net inflows are at 550, so in line with the other quarter of 2017. And now asset under management is very close to €20 billion, 50% represented by Arca Fund. Also, the bancassurance had a positive performance and now is at €4.8 billion. Now we can move on page 12, and so here we have the trend of non-performing. First of all, the gross, we had a decline from 10.5 to 9.9. And let me say that now we are single digit, and probably we have to go back in 2012 to see a similar amount of gross NPE. At the same time, there was a very strong decline in net NPE that are in March 18, 4.2 billion euro. So the ratio, the gross, we have a decline from 19.9 to 19.3, and the net now stands at 9.3%. Particularly important is the trend in the coverage. First of all, bad loans, there is an increase from 59 to 66.5. Unlikely to pay today are close to 40%, and the NPE coverage is above 57%. And this is the result of the strong action under the first-time adoption IFRS 9. Looking at page 13, we can see the trend of the financial assets. So after some years, we saw a decline from 15.7 to 15.1. Bonds amount to 14.2 and represent 94% of the total portfolio. What is important to underline is the amount of Italian government bonds at 5.1 billion. And this is 33.9% of the total securities portfolio. Now we can move on to profit and loss. And on page 15, there is the representation of this for Q2018. As I said before, the net profit of 251, the best quarter in the history of the group. And is also important, the net result from operations at 325.9 million, supporting in particular by the very positive trend in net commission and the net profit from financial activities. The pre-tax profit amounted to 272.4 billion. Now let's turn to page 16, and we are going to analyze the NII. So the pro forma, as you can see, is 267.6, in line with the fourth Q2017, if you consider the difference in the calendar effect. And this, in my view, is a very important message, because this represents a very important trend supported by the commercial business, also because we have a decline in the contribution coming from the securities portfolio. And the confirmation of this element you can see on page 17, where after some quarter of reduction in the spread, we have an increase in the Q1 2018 in the total spread and also in the customer spread. Also, as you see, the performance spread in the commerce in customer spread is 1.86 compared with the 1.8 in the first Q2017. On page 18, I think there is another important element. Net commission income amounted to 198.1 million. Also here is the highest level that we have ever been for the group. It is really an impressive result. And if you compare year on year, is we have plus 11.7, even if there is not are not entirely comparable due to the entrance of new tariff in the perimeter of the group, but the impact is very, very low. And let me say, is particularly positive the trend in the commission in direct deposit and bank assurance. So this is an area where we had an increase by 31.4%. On the other hand, we have a strong contribution and trade income, 153.6 million euro. So in a very positive quarter, we decided to have some profit taking, and this was a decision to support our strategy in non-performing, and the result is this very impressive 153 million euro of trading income. Looking at page 19, we can see the operating cost down by 5.1% compared with the 4Q 2017. Obviously, here we have the impact of the consolidation of New Caife in the perimeter of the group. Anyway, the personal expenses amounted to 207 million euro, 0.5. Other administrative expenses amounted to 102 million, 0.3. And there are a reduction in the first element and also in the second compared with the fourth quarter 2017. Cost of credit on page 20. Here we have a very important reduction, and if we look at the cost of credit, it's very low, and also the provision breakdown, you can see also the cost of risk and other provisions. Let me say that it's important for people to see this strong decline. We expressed in the last year that our expectation is to see this trend due to the strong provisioning and post-time adoption IFRS 9. And I think this is the first effect. So we confirm our guideline at 60 basis points for this year. But anyway, the starting point is absolutely positive. Looking at the liquidity and the capital on page 22, there is the liquidity, and as you can see, the total eligible assets are at 16.8 billion euros, so with a strong increase compared with December 17, and at the same time, the unencumbered eligible assets are very high together the deposit with the ECB, so the position of liquidity is very strong with LCR and NSFR above 100%. Looking at the capital position, first of all, the common equity one ratio phase B is at 14.6% compared with the 13.89 at December 2017. And the ratio calculated on the full application regime, fully phased, is equal to 11.71%. Let me say that this ratio does not consider the mitigation of the IFRS 9 phase-in, but does not embed any future retained earnings and any absorption of DTA on losses carried forward. So the combination of this ratio and the coverage above 57%, I think, express clearly the strong position of BPER Group. Now, a few final comments to summarize this fourth quarter 2018 results on page 25. Q1 2018 represents the turning point for our group. All the trends came better than expected, thanks to our solid capital position and the high levels of NPE coverage above 57%, we are ready to start a phase of quick reduction of the NPE stock after the very positive trend recorded in the last 18-24 months. In this scenario, our expectation on the cost of credit reduction in 2018 becomes even more realistic. This brings immediate benefits on profitability, which should be supported also by the low level of taxation. Good signals are coming from the commercial activity, in particular from the commission side. In this positive scenario, we are working on the new business plan 2018-2021, which will be presented to the market after the summer. At this point, I would like to thank you very much for your time and attention, and now Roberto, Alessandro, Gimberto and I are ready to answer to your question. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The first questions come from Gina Newitz with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So this is Jean-François Neres from Goldman Sachs, and I had questions related to cost of risk and NPE strategy. On your slide 6, I see bad loan disposals expected for 3.5 to 4 billion in the period 2018-2020, of which this 3 billion by the end of 2018 in securitization. Just to clarify, these securitization transactions, do you expect to actually deconsolidate the NPLs at that stage, meaning find buyers, or just to securitize them and only then start the sales process? And if that's the former, have you had initial conversations to back that claim, if you want? And the second thing I wanted to ask was on the cost of risk guidance of below 60 basis points. I wondered which year does this apply to. Obviously, you've had a good start to this year with cost of risk, but I wanted to know whether that applies also for 2018 now. Thank you very much.
Well, on the first point, securitization, we are working on two securitizations. The first one on Banco di Sardegna for around 1 billion euros, and the second on BPER and will be around 2 billion euros. Obviously, our objective is the recognition of the bad loans. So I think it's possible to see the recognition of the first securitization by the end of the fourth half 2018, and we hope also to have the recognition of the 2 billion euro in the second half of this year. So we are working for these important activities on the two main banks of the region. So this is the first element. Then after these two securitization, we think that it's possible to complete other disposal, probably without securitization or GACS. Probably our strategy will change. We want to identify some different portfolio and then try to find the best investor for different portfolio. This will be the activity in 2019-2020. The cost of risk. Really, the starting point this year is really better than expected. So if you look at not IFRS 9, but back to the old accounting principle, the cost of risk is close to zero. But let me say, I want to be very cautious because in the past we have a cost of risk of 120-150. So we expect to see the cost of risk in this year around 60 basis points, but could be even better of 60 basis points. Let's see. But anyway, this is only to have a very cautious approach in the cost of risk. What is important is that it changes deeply the characteristic of our profit and loss in this element, and we think that the effect on our profitability is absolutely crucial for our in the near future.
Sorry, I apologize, but the line was bad and I didn't understand the basis point guidance for this year's cost of risk.
60 basis points.
For this year, okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Christian Carrese, Intermonte. The first question is on net interest income. We saw an important effect from the IFRS 9 first time adoption. We had the chance to listen to the conference call of Intesa San Paolo a few minutes ago. The impact was negligible, the impact of IFRS 9. So I was wondering if you can clarify why such an impact, and if we have to take the first quarter numbers as a run rate for the coming quarters. And still on net interest income, you made an important capital gain in the quarter, the 150 million euro trading income. If you can give some details on the portfolio that's being sold, and what kind of impact you are expecting in terms of lower contribution to net interest income in the coming quarters, and also the FS, the reserve that you still have from the portfolio. The second question is on capital, 11.7% is not including DTA. If you can clarify the on balance sheet, off balance sheet DTA as of today, and you are not including, of course, Banco di Sicilia, Banco di Sardegna minorities buyout. There is something missing still that could improve the common equity in the coming quarters. For example, the Carife migration has been already included in the first quarter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Christian. I would like to say something about the capital position. Then I ask also to Roberto to speak about the profit taking on the securities portfolio. First of all, we closed the year with 11.7. Frankly speaking, is a little bit higher than expected, because probably 10-20 basis points more higher than what we thought at the beginning of the year. And we have rooms to increase also in the coming months, because we have some opportunities. For example, we are working on CRBRA to apply the internal model for the loans portfolio of CRBRA. There is the update of our loans given default. So there are some opportunities to have in the coming years, positive benefit. We estimate something between 30-40 basis points, the benefit coming from these two elements. And we hope to have in the next quarter, in the second quarter 2018, then we'll see if it's possible in the third. Before going through the NII, I ask Roberto to explain our strategy in the securities portfolio for the benefit. As I said before, and let me underline this point, the year was extremely positive before the decision to take this advantage, but I repeat, to sustain our strong action on the provisioning, we decided to take some opportunity. Roberto.
Okay, Christian. We sold mainly corporate bonds and BTPs, long-term BTPs from our portfolio, but we bought back BTPs that we posted in amortized cost accounting. And this is actually the strategy that we follow in our portfolio. In terms of net interest income, the contribution from the financial portfolio on net interest income will be lower by around 25 million compared to last year, but will be partially compensated by the commercial side. So actually the commercial side will give a better contribution than last year, compensating at least partially the lower contribution from the financial portfolio. Mm-hmm. On available for sale, the new name is Fair Value Other Comprehensive Income portfolio. We still have positive reserve for around 130-140 million gross. The last question actually was on DTA. We will have a positive absorption of DTA in the future through recurrent profitability for more than 350 million. That is almost 120 points in terms of Common Equity Tier 1.
These are on balance sheet?
Those are past losses that have not been put on balance sheet, but we will recover them through profitability in the future quarters, 350 million. They will become DTA when we will put them on balance sheet.
Okay, just a clarification on the first quarter net interest income, the IFRS 9 impact. I'm referring to the slide. Let me see. I don't find the slide. Anyway, it's the positive impact will be recurrent. I mean, the first quarter numbers has to be seen as recurrent numbers going forward.
Well, let me say, first of all, I don't know if it's a significant difference between 466 and 490, more or less. This is the difference between NII in the Q1 IFRS 9 or before. The difference is due to the time value on bad loans, as you know, and probably, I think it's possible to see in the coming quarter a decline in this difference due to the disposal of bad loans. So we are working, as you know, in two important securitization. After that, the amount of bad loans is going down, and also the impact coming from this. Let me say, but speaking about the NII, one more important element. Comparing the last Q, 2017, and the first Q of this year, I think that is important to express clearly that the activity on the commercial side was extremely positive and offset the reduction of the component coming from the securities portfolio. And let me say, this was absolutely important because it expressed the activity of our business department, and this is absolutely crucial for the coming months. So for the first time, there is what we expected to see, so the offset of a reduction in the NPE portfolio contribution by the activity with the customer loans. And this is, in my view, extremely positive.
Christian, just to be clear, the impact of the IFRS 9 on NII is due to two main elements. The one is the recovery of time value on bad loans. This is significant, but it's not impacting the bottom line of the profit and loss, because it's only a change of the line in which we can see this kind of element. Because it was in the last year, this figure was inside the provisions, and the provisions were net of this effect. Now, this effect is shifted on NII. The real impact of the IFRS 9 on the bottom line of the profit is the write-off of interest on unlikely to pay, and for us, is really negligible.
Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have two questions. The first one is on the recent statement of Unipol CEO, who, as far as I understand, has hoped or suggested for an acceleration of the de-risking strategy. I was wondering whether you can comment on this. Shall I take that the draft guidelines of your NPE strategy that you are presenting today are already consistent with this indication, in a certain sense? If you have any comment on this, that would be very much appreciated, so to once and for all clarify this position. The second point is actually more details on the CET1, 11.7%. Roberto just answered that there are another 100 basis points of release of DTA that you will benefit in the future. I would like to know what is the time frame of the release of capital. In the previous de-risking plan, you were mentioning that whatever was the case, the Common Equity Tier 1 would have remained above 12%, if I'm not mistaken. So I was wondering whether you may exceed this level already in the second quarter or by year end, thanks also to the actions that you have mentioned, the IRB on Cassa di Risparmio di Bra, the update of the NGD. And then I would like to know whether you can share with us what could be the cash flow generation going forward in terms of contribution to the Common Equity Tier 1 in the Q1. The pre-provision profit was something like 330 million euros. You have an extra trading profit of, let's say, 120 million. In the past, you have guided us for recurring trading profit of 20-30 million euros. So the adjusted for trading pre-provision profit would be 200 million euros, and in excess of 200 million euros, meaning that you may have a pre-tax profit in the region of 130 million euros, which would end up with a 9 months contribution in terms of bottom line in excess of 300 million euros. Is these calculations correct so that you can add all the moving parts to the CT1 to have an idea of what could be the year-end target? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I will take the first question, and I will hand over to Roberto on the second one, and Alessandro on the third. I think it's not the task of the CEO to comment on the statements made by the shareholders. On the other hand, it would be hard because very often these statements are extrapolated from a broader and more articulated discussion. I believe instead that the task of the CEO is to clearly express objectives and strategies, hoping that they are correct and appreciated by all the shareholders and the market. In this sense, I believe that at the end of this quarter, our strategy is extremely clear. I think that also the target in terms of NPE gross ratio are ambitious and achievable thanks to our strategy. Roberto, some other elements on the
Common equity. As you said, Giovanni, we will have some positive levers already by June. We can evidentiate the rollout of CR EBRA, the LGD revision. I would say that we can have a target, considering also retained profit, with a very low tax rate, as you saw. That is already close to 12 or above 12% by the end of June. And then when we speak about DTA, it is important to see where it is the quarterly recurrent profitability. So it depends on recurrent profitability in the future, and I wouldn't like to enter on this in analytics in number. But anyway, the target is to go above 12% already by next quarter on Common Equity Tier 1.
Before hand over to Alessandro for your last question, let me say something about the expectation on our net profit. Only to underline the important message that now, with this different cost of risk, the expectation is obvious to see a profitability at a very higher level. But at the same time, we have the opportunity to have a very low tax rate. So the combination of low cost of risk and low tax rate, we have to have better profitability and higher net profit. And through this trend, also a higher contribution to the capital position.
Alessandro. In line what with the speech of Mr. Vandelli about this thing, I can add that if you obviously the first quarter is an extraordinary quarter, and you can refer to this quarter trying to restate the result of trading and the result of provision. If you restate the result of trading with a normalized result, we usually have more or less from 25 to 30 million each quarter of trading, from 20 to 30, let me say, and provisions with the guidance of 60 basis points are different from the first quarter, obviously, but with these two changes in the profit, in the results of the first quarter, you can calculate a normalized profit that you can use for the cash flow for the common equity, reducing it by a dividend, because we have a payer. We are considering a higher level of payout compared with the last year.
Yes, and with this calculation, I arrived to something like 90 million euros of net income. That was my calculation exactly.
Per quarter,
yes. And sorry, Roberto, just one clarification. Above a 12% CET1 as of June before release of DTA, right?
Before the release of DTA, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Also, thanks to very low tax rate on our retained profit.
The next question is from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. Just a couple of questions, if I may. The first one is on the gross NP ratio. In one of the slides, you mentioned it is 19.3%. If I take 9.87 billion as per slide 29, and I divide that amount by the customer loans according to the new structure of the balance sheet, 48.7 billion, I would end up in the region of 18. So I was wondering what is the difference eventually? This is my first question. And the second question I have is on, again, to get back one second on taxation. Your profit, let's assume your profit and loss is going to be positive for 2018, but you have the impact of IFRS 9, first time adoption. Would this be seen as a fiscal loss by the tax authorities? Would this trigger the transformation of DTAs related to credit impairments and intangibles at the year end?
Okay, thank you for your question. First of all, on the gross, the gross NP ratio on the numerator, there is the non-performing exposure at 9.868 billion, and the total gross exposure are 51.251. So this is the result is 19.3. Obviously, the 19.3 is due also to the fact that there was a reduction in total gross exposure between December and March, because obviously, if we have the same level of total gross exposure, we would be below 19%. But anyway, this is 19.3. And let me say, we expect to see a strong reduction during this year due to the two securitization that I mentioned before. So let me say, also to have a perimeter of 6.4 billion euro of non-performing with a very high coverage, I think is the most important element to have a strong confidence for the evolution of the NPE gross ratio. And I know that you have a question on the taxation. So Roberto, please go ahead.
Yeah, the taxation will be very low this year to past losses on loans, on losses on loans, clearly, on provisioning. Then in the future, starting from next year onwards, we will recover the 350 million of DTAs. So those are two separate, accounting procedures. Past losses on loans and DTA that we will recover in the future.
Sorry, Roberto, but this you mentioned the 350 million.
What yes.
What is this 350 million?
350 million are DTA that we will account in the future because we didn't account them in the past. We will account in the future and we will recover through recurrent profitability in the future, not this year. This year, through past losses, we will have very low tax rate and so very high retained profitability, as you see in the first quarter.
350 is part of the 600 and something, 630 or whatever the number was, at the end of 2017 that were not recognized on balance sheet. Am I getting
yes.
it right?
Yes, you got it right, yes.
Okay.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Actually, we have four questions. Apologies for that. So first, I'll start with NII. I just wanted to know if you can provide guidance for the NII for the full year. You know, can we annualize Q1 number? You know, I noticed you said that with the NPL sales, the time value effect will decrease going forward. So I just want to know if, you know, what NII should I be pencilling in? Second, on the you know, the cost of risk this quarter, I mean, obviously it was very low. You didn't give, flows. Is it because basically there were no flows in the quarter? You know, arguably, you know, increase the coverage, so no flows could mean no net NPL flows could mean no cost of risk. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And then two quicker questions. One on... You know, you say in the presentation that you have a portfolio of 6 billion of NPLs that is marked to sell already, but you're only talking about 3.5 to 4 billion of sales. So, you know, why don't you just try to sell the 6 billion, you know, and try to get a faster improvement in your NPL ratio? And the fourth question on the quarter one, you know, I was also expecting a quarter one in Q1 around 12%. You know, I think the main delta here was, you know, I kind of knew about the 1 billion of IFRS 9, but it looks like, you know, there was supposed to be, I was expecting some offset of some 300 million related to Banco de Sardegna, you know, the excess capital in that business. So, but it looks like there was no offset against the 1 billion of IFRS 9. So I'd like to understand that. And also, you know, what was the impact of IRB in Carife? You know, how much of that was what was the benefit in Q1? I'd like to know that as well, please. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So I will take your first question. Then I ask Roberto to speak about the common equity one. First of all, NII. Our expectation last year, our NII was around 1.124, so 1.124 billion. We expect to see the full year more or less at the same level if we look at ISS 39, so without the impact of IFRS 9. With the IFRS 9, there will be an increase in the NII. So if we compare on homogeneous base, there is substantially a flat level of the NII. Let me say at the same time there will be an increase in a significant increase. We expect a significant increase in commission and fees, more than 5% on in this 2018. Speaking about the cost of risk, obviously you know that the cost of risk is the sum of two main components. One is the new default, so the request of coverage for the new default. On the other hand, is the default that we have already in our balance sheet. So through this strong activity in the first time adoption, the second component is going to be close to zero, not only in the first Q, but in the coming years. Our expectation is to see a very, very low contribution in terms of cost of risk coming from the bad loans unlikely to pay portfolio. At the same time, the expectation to have a very low cost of risk is due to the fact that today we are improving the level of inflows from bonus to default. So in the 3 years ago, we have a huge amount of a new default. Today, quarter after quarter is declining. So the combination of a good level of coverage on the NPE that we have today and the very low level of new default is the reason because our expectation is to see a cost of risk at the level that we said in this year, around 60 basis points, and probably something less also this year in the future for BPER Group. The last point is disposal. Yes, now we have an important bucket of NPE with a very high coverage. As we said, we work on an amount of 6.4 billion euros. So at the moment, we have in mind to complete disposal around 4.5 billion euro, so three through securitization and other using a different so single deals, single tickets or different portfolio. Said this, let me say, after this year 2018, after the two securitization, we will see where we are and also what could be the market for bad loans, and we can accelerate our activity. It depends on the condition on the market if there is an opportunity. But let me say at the same time that we experimented this last year and also in the first Q 2018 a very high performance in the recovery activity of our company. So let me say probably this quarter was the best performance of our company in the activity of recovery. So this is it is another opportunity. What we think that is the combination of disposal recovery is the good approach to have a strong reduction in our NPE ratio, but at the same time, we'll see what will be the market in the near future. Roberto, for the last question.
Yeah, you go. Actually, when we spoke about the 12% threshold, we were considering an extra provisioning or FATA provisioning of 1 billion. As Mr. Vandelli said, we increased the perimeter of the NPEs to 6.4 billion, and so we saw the opportunity to increase also the provisioning through FTA above 1.1 billion. So the difference, the 100 million that we have higher provisioning actually makes the difference between 12% and 11.7% in terms of Common Equity Tier 1. It is actually the actual number is 1.113 billion. The provisioning for Banco di Sardegna actually was marginally lower than 300 million, so very close to the amount that we gave to the market before. So actually, we I think it was coherent. The increase in coverage was important. The last question was on the impact on Carife. The rollout to IRB model was a little bit above 100 million of risk-weighted asset relief.
Okay, Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrea Vercellone with Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Three questions on my side. You mentioned before that you were looking to have a higher payout ratio in 2018 versus 2017. So I was just wondering what has been the accrual for the dividend in Q1, i.e. is it just a pro rata of last year or you have already made some different assumptions? Then two questions, a little bit provocative on asset quality. The first one is on your guidance of cost of risk, 60 to 70 basis points for this year, which in my opinion doesn't make much sense considering you have had 22 basis points annualized in Q1. You managed to recover to decrease NPEs without selling them, and coverage is now 57%. So what is going to happen in Q2, Q3, Q4 to significantly increase the cost of risk from the current level? And the second one, a third one also on asset quality, I'll ask the same question that was asked before, just in a different way. I know that the majority of market participants want you to sell non-performing loans. I'm not one of them. I'd rather you work them out yourself. So now you have marked to sale 6.4 billion, but you're only planning to sell 4.5 at the moment. So in theory, on the residual 2 billion, you're going to have some write-backs when you are going to recover them. Is that the case? Am I reading it right? So if you're not going to sell them and you recover them, provision releases at some point.
Well, I take your second and third questions. Let me ask Alessandro to say something about your first question. You are right when you say that probably it's difficult to say why the guidance is around 60 basis points of cost of risk. I repeat, you know, you must think from our side that we are out from some years with a very high level of cost of risk. And so this is only a cautious approach. Let me say, I prefer, to surprise the market and at the end of the year have, for example, 30-40 basis points, then express that we are at 30 and then could be something more. But there is no evidence to this 60 basis point. It's only a very cautious approach after so many years when we paid a lot of money for increase the coverage. So we are satisfied with our level. Probably, I think it is probably the highest in the Italian banking system because we are above 57%. So for this reason, I think that this is what we have in mind. We work so hard for 1 year for this important project. Now we are ready to take all the advantages of this situation. Yes, I think you are right also on the second point. So we have a perimeter of 6.4 billion euro. We are planning to sell something between 4 and 5 billion. So in the last part, the level of the coverage is so high that the internal workout is possible to have some benefits on our balance sheet, on our profit and loss, if we use the workout unit and not to sell on the market. This is an optionality. I think it is important to have more optionality. If our opportunity on the market, we can accelerate and so to use the full amount of 6.4 billion. Or to use our workout unit that is performing quite well and to have some benefit for the P&L. Yes, Alessandro.
So, about the retained earnings of the first quarter, and just because we had room in terms of profits, we decided to maintain a level of payout in the first quarter pro rata that is more or less a half of the last year. It's obvious that it's not we cannot forecast the same payout for each quarter of 2018. So what we did is to maintain payout in the first quarter more or less at the level of a half year of 2017. This means that in terms of return earnings, we used 220 million more or less compared with the profit of 251.
Sorry, it's not clear to me. How much have you retained as dividend?
So, let me say, 251 is the net profit. So, 222 is the retained earnings, and the other part is for the dividend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Cerezo Ignacio with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. A couple of questions from me. First one is if you can break down the 500 million AUM inflow in the quarter between new money, deposits, custody assets, retail bonds, etc. And the second one is if you see any risk on the GACS scheme actually not being extended after the summer, especially given political uncertainties. Thank you.
So I will take the second question about GACS. Obviously, there is a risk, you know, that on the 6th of September, if I remember correctly, is the expiry date of the GACS. So this, there is a risk. I'm positive because of what I understand is that the government had the opportunity to extend for 18 months the GACS, and they use only 12 months. So I think that is probably something that could be managed also in this situation. And so in my view, it's so important for many banks in Italy, and I hope that it is possible to see an intervention to extend the last 6 months that was already in the first idea of the extension of GACS. So the risk is present, but there are many, many reasons because it is correct to think that it's possible to see a renewal of this opportunity in terms of GACS. I ask to Alessandro to answer your first question.
In terms of net inflows of assets under management in the first quarter, they were 550, and they were mainly addressed to discretionary accounts, what in Italy we call gestione patrimoniali. So the activity of the first quarter was particularly strong in terms of rebalancing and remixing the assets under management and assets under custody, and the inflows were particularly strong, even from not clients or on personal, the clients that we call personal, so the middle level or affluent, if you know better. And the inflows were particularly concentrated on a discretionary account.
Thank you.
The next question is from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. Just once again on risk cost. Still not clear to me what is the impact of IFRS 9 on a risk cost that is technically going close to zero in this quarter, 6 basis points technically. You know, all of a sudden we had a completely different level of risk provision. So in the past, but also in the last quarter. The economy has not changed dramatically, but all of a sudden the risk costs disappear and we have IFRS 9. So I just wonder what is the impact of the new accounting in this number, if any?
Well, if you look at the trend in the last 3-4 years, you can find that large part of our provisioning was to increase the coverage. So we increased dramatically the coverage from 37% to 49% in some years. And this was the reason, because we had a so high level of cost of risk. Now we have the 57% of coverage on all the NPE of our group. We are absolutely convinced that we will see a strong reduction in cost of risk, because the inflows is going down. So it's not only the level of inflows, but it is also the level of inflows that we have today, and at the same time, the coverage that we have in our balance sheet. If you look at some years ago, we had a very high default rate, and the situation, the combination of high default rate, low coverage, it means 160 basis points of cost of risk. Today, we have lower default rate, so we hope to this year to go below 2%. And at the same time, 57% of coverage. For this reason, our expectation is to see, let me say, a very low cost of risk, not only for this year, 2018, also in the coming years. And our expectation, as we said, was to be around 60 and probably something below 60 in the near future.
Okay, okay, that's pretty clear. Right, thanks.
Thank you, thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you. So no closing remarks, just thank you very much for the attention, and have a good evening and see you soon. Bye-bye, thank you.